Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Former President Bill Clinton, a previous interview of his was broadcasted around the United States, probably the world, last night. And a key to helping us understand, you know, what is happening and what's going on is he talked about it. He talked to him. We're going to be sharing about that today because one of his mentors is in the history sense that he wants to be able to be like, he said in 1996, he wanted to be like Theodore Roosevelt. He wanted to, he didn't use the word fundamentally transform, but he wants to have a transformational presidency basically without war.
Right.
And then we're looking like, did they just hire a community organizer for 8 years to get everything organized so that President Hillary Clinton can come in and begin to, I mean, you think, I mean, it looks like it's, that was one of his desires. And one of the elders of the world, as he said, called himself. Yeah. And wow, from Hot Springs. Anyway, so then we're also going to talk about the NSA. Was it Richard Clark? Richard Clark gave a proposal to the president along with the people that he selected for his committee. And this is something important to talk about because we don't know our Constitution. We don't understand how we got here and how we stay here. And with that, one of the choices they said that, you know, I think it was like 35 suggestions and they're going to wait till the middle of the four blood moons to decide what to do with it. But one of them, immediately they said no. We want to talk about this because they said one of the suggestions was get the military for being over this.
Get them out.
Get them out. Or is it get them out?
I'm asking you.
I think get them over it. Oh, being over it. You need the military in it probably, but not being over it. Over the NSA, which is the National, help me out with that again because I went blank on it.
National Security Agency.
Yeah, National Security Agency, which is, I think, is also known named EPIC. It's called EPIC. And Snowden is being vindicated, it looks like, through some of the stuff. But what you have is you have Fourth Amendment violations, and that's what the federal judge was talking about. But what the Richard Clark recommended, one of the recommendations from this panel, that was chosen by the president, President Barack Obama, was take the military out from over it, put a civilian over it. And you may think, I mean, the first natural tendency is going, well, wouldn't the military be better than this? Better than a civilian? We have to understand, this is a government, a civilian government, that we're going to talk about how the Constitution tells us very specifically, this is how things are run. You are the one over this country. And one of you may decide to be over it and put in your name to run for the civilian to be over the entire country. It's called President of the United States. And the military constitutionally is only supposed to be able to protect us from enemies outside our borders. They're not supposed to be over anything over you. And that's a violation of your constitutional rights. You have to understand the military is totally subjective to the leadership of the commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief of the military, but that was to protect us from foreign enemies. And it's kind of a mixture thing. I kind of get it in regards to, you know, technology's kind of mixed all that together. Mm-hmm. But you cannot just undo our Fourth Amendment rights. You can't undo the Constitution. You can't put soldiers over America's phone calls.
Right.
But what happened was he said immediately, no, we're not going to put a civilian over that. It's like, we put a civilian over the country, you. Do we trust you to lead the country? And the and you know, why not have a civilian? And the thing about it, the civilian's answer to you, the military answers to him. Mm. And so you want somebody over every department that's actually a civilian that answers to you as a people. It's one of you, one of us. And so we want to talk about that. And that's because we're CI, constitutionally ignorant. We don't realize that is just like an immediate, you don't put military over civilians in America. The martial law may kick in and something like that. That's a little bit different may happen, but I'm not talking about that. We're talking about just every day, all the phone calls, you know, and that's it. I mean, even the one that's ambassador to China, I believe he is. I mean, this is a guy that it's in the cabinet. I remember him saying once, he says, I just wave at my computer knowing that they're watching me anyway.
Oh.
And it's like, okay, he's in the know. And what it is, if America's not watching you, some other country's watching you. And if you don't know this too, that even if you lock down all the leaders in America and say, you will not spy on us or our neighbors, understand this is how it's always been done anyway, you know, reportedly, is that Canada spies on us and we spy on Canada. Israel spies on us and we spy on Israel. And then we sell those intelligence. We give that intelligence because that's not unconstitutional for us to be able to get the intelligence of somebody else. You know what I'm saying? It's like, turn to God, not to technology. If you have not heard the segments on Neil Postman, you have to understand that technology is not the answer. God is the answer. And it's interesting, too, that they talk about an image. You know, we'll be worshiped in the end. And it's really just an image. It's a motherboard.
Ozone ones.
Yeah. And Ozone ones. Interesting. Couldn't even make it a two. And if we get a chance, and I really want to share about this, is prophecy, talking about Revelation chapter 18. Understand that the Revelation is not written in order. And there is a city called Babylon that falls in an hour. We want to just ask the question, is that city New York City? We want to share with you some things that God has shared with us. And we just want to ask the question outright. And there's a lot of people going, it is not. It's like, relax. We're just going to ask the question. If it ain't, it ain't. If it is, run. We want to first go right into another key component, understanding of what's taking place. I believe just jumped out to me last night, because last night had the opportunity to watch Barbara Walters interview people in the past, at least some of them. Many of them we just fast forwarded through. But one was President Bill Clinton, and when he was president in 1996. And you got to hear, because we were talking about, and we need to make this related to children of the night versus children of the day. Alinsky's children versus Jesus's children. Understanding that our president, for example, our current president, President Barack Obama, was running against Hillary Clinton for president. But they're two friends. They've been together for years. They both are Alinsky followers. She wrote a paper that's locked up. We need to start a movement. Unlock that thesis.com. I'm just joking. Those things so repulse me. Like, I'm going to go to your site and register for that. You just put a flag out here. I am. Yeah. Anyway, so.
All right.
But it's like this thesis they locked down about Alinsky, which is community organizing. Alinsky Tactics, a book that's dedicated. Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals, and it's dedicated to Lucifer, the first one who organized and got his own kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more about that. And I'm just telling you what is. I'm just telling you what is. It's just time for us to face what is. And but also President Obama was also one of Alinsky's, was mentored by Alinsky, and I believe he was hired by him for 4 years, according to the Chicago Tribune. At least what's written on the back of Rules for Radicals is this book is dedicated to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. The back of the book is dedicated, and you can see this on the VFN Torch. So he taught the tactics for 4 years. And if you understand the tactics, and we took each tactic one at a time, I believe it was 13 tactics, and we shared with the Alinsky tactic, which would be a dark tactic, and then we shared with you what God's word says about that, which would be the light tactic. And it goes all the way to the point, and God just revealed to us as we were, you know, on the journey, and God's revealed, and we started off like, hey, you know, teach us, God. And we just learn out loud. If you hadn't noticed it yet, we just learn out loud. And we'll use up too much time talking about how many lessons we've learned. But so they're running. Remember, you had President Barack Obama Senator Obama running against Senator Clinton. The only senator to that point in history was only Kennedy. He's the only senator that ever became president.
Really?
I believe there was never another senator that became. And that's something senator. Isn't that amazing?
I didn't know that.
I didn't know
that
either.
I could be wrong. Anyway, so the and either way,
you want to learn something new.
And so see, we're learning out loud. That's we think. Right. Give us a moment. And so when Senator Barack Obama becomes president, it's like the second senator ever to become a president from Senate. And the reason you can see why, because Senate doesn't really represent the state, the governing too well. I mean, you can actually be a community organizer and boom.
You can be president.
You'll be president.
Really. Like, you don't run anything.
Did you, it's anyway, but we were praying that God would give him wisdom, and God can take simple fishermen and people like us and can use us. So God has the ability to give us wisdom mm-hmm. how to do things. So what's going on? Why, you know, because they really thought it appeared that Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a shock wave that went across. I mean, like being shocked and stunned that all of a sudden she was being the less likely selection. And so I guess behind the scenes, according to President Obama's pastor, and you can hear him say this on The Torch, he said, you have to understand, he was selected before he was elected. So what happened behind the scenes, it appears that the strategy is 16 years of organizing. This is the strategy, 16 years of organizing. But the selected crew, which President Obama was the least likely, by the way, to be selected according to them. And you can watch the whole interview. We have the whole interview that's there because they were looking for somebody that could bring a transformational presidency. In other words, the nation would be transformed. Well, that normally happens in war. Transformations like that happen in war.
Mm-hmm.
And sad to say, when you look at Woodrow, he wanted things to be transformed in America. And so even though he ran against war, he went to war. Even though FDR, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt ran against war, he actually transformed the nation by going to it. And then we start looking, you know, so Barbara Walters is interviewing President Bill Clinton, who basically was running against Barack Obama, Senator Barack Obama, him and his wife were basically. And two for one is what the president said when he got in.
Mm-hmm.
And which just makes sense. All spouses help each other and that type of thing. But, you know, but he says this key statement that they clip out and they play. And it's like, oh, maybe and this is not meant in an insulting way. Anyway, reality is reality. Maybe when they went into that room and they had that talk with the whoever Bergs and all those people mm-hmm. who do the selecting and the people that were watching with the JFK Library interview. And before they actually selected who they were going to select,
mm-hmm.
That they said, listen, we first need to bring in an intense community organizer to work the community for 8 years to get it ready for what you want to do, because it's going to take some organizing. And then I'm just theorizing. I'm just telling what God's laid on my spirit, you know, what's really going on, because it feels like, understand, these kind of transformations that are taking place right now only happen during war. Only happen during war. That's why you feel so ripped up inside, but yet it seems to be not at war, but inside mm-hmm. we're going like, I feel like our borders are being destroyed. I feel like we're losing our economy. I feel like our military is being destroyed. I feel like that's what happens in war. You lose mm-hmm. through attrition, not through attrition, but you start losing ships.
Mm-hmm.
You start losing soldiers. You start losing your safety over the borders. You start losing your original founding document. Eventually your flag goes down, but it's like, we're having those losses now, but we're not at war. And you feel that, and it's like, it's right. It does feel like war. It feels like war. And so this interview, when I heard President Bill Clinton, President Bill Clinton is a lot like President Barack Obama. I mean, he's so powerful when he talks. I don't care. I mean, you just like him. You like him when you hear him talk. You think, wow. And when President Barack Obama talks, if you listen to him, if it's not in stressful moments, that you're just thinking, man, I got to be careful because he's saying things against God, but I really like the way he's saying it. Mm. It's like, oh my goodness, you know?
Wow.
And we have to understand, what is the fruit of this? And listen to what he said. Listen to what he says, right? We're just going to hear it. This is President Bill Clinton in 1996 being interviewed by Barbara Walters. And you're going to be surprised because this explains what a transformational presidency is. And the way he compares it is, He wanted us to be just like Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. And he wanted to be done in such a way, but done without war. Listen up. This is President Bill Clinton, 1996.
I would like to be the second president in the history of the country. The first was Theodore Roosevelt. To lead this country through a period of dramatic change within America and in the world. Without a major war.
Think about it. In America, and the war, and the world, without a war.
Hmm.
I mean, Secretary, you got to see this. We're going to put related links up to the segment, but we're sourcing this out. We're not just saying this. I mean, I would rather not have this be going on, but we got to pay attention. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is the most traveled Secretary of State in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, in our nation's history.
In our nation's history, which would be probably the world because of the resources. And then President Bill Clinton has placed himself at one time, one of the seven elders of the world, along with Branson and a couple others.
Want to be the president Jimmy Carter. Of the world. I mean, Time Magazine put him on the cover with the Globe.
Right.
You know, he wants to be the president of the world.
And the first thing the people who selected him told him to do, which is his pastor said, he's got to do what the people selected him to do first before he can do what you want him to do. You know, maybe he made a decision. I don't know. Maybe he made a decision. It's like, I understand what I got to do. And if you're in politics, I mean, the closer you get to politics, and I appreciate those who stand up and lead our country, and I pray for them. That's how we're a very political system.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have a gut for it because you just want to just go woof your cookies when you get close to any of it, because the word politician means compromiser. And as a Christian, there's some things you can't compromise on.
That's right.
And those are the ones that stand out like a sore thumb, like Ted Cruz and others that says, I'm sorry, can't compromise on that, but we can do this, or Michelle Bachmann. And so the world and the nation, the world and the nation. Well, there's the global initiative.
Mm-hmm.
He's organized. They're organizing the world. You have to understand that I'm just speaking prophetically to you, what God's revealing and unfolding. And this is how you got to search out a matter. This is what God's, you know, it's the glory of God to hide a matter. And it's the glory of kings to search it out. And so, you know, we're a royal priesthood, a nation of kings under our King Lord. And we just got to search it out. This is how it works. And we're seeing that. And I felt that all along. I've been saying, if you've been listening, that the world's being organized. The world's being organized. And we're going to be talking today about Revelation chapter 18, about the city, great city Babylon. And you have to understand that when you read Revelation, even 17, I believe it is, there's 10 kings that have not yet come, but will come. And I kind of see that as the world's going to be in 10 quadrants. And there'll be 10 kings over those quadrants. And they're only going to be put in power long enough to be able to hand that power over to Lucifer, which he'll have for 60 minutes. Did you enjoy the drive? Whack! And so it's like amazing right now. So when you look at when Hillary Clinton, and this has nothing to do with politics, wake up, church. If somebody puts something in a political conversation, does not mean you cannot preach about truth. That her assistant, reportedly the daughter of one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, mother and father, is her assistant in the Secretary of State, unvetted, and her husband's running for the mayor of New York, the city. Well, hold on, we got the city. And of course, you have to understand how this thing works with, you know, Ahab and Jezebel and all that kind of stuff, that, you know, it's hard for a man to survive in that environment in regards to sexually, because you just get seduced by power, money, and sex. It just takes you away. Next thing you know, you're in the library, you're checking out a book, you know, you're looking through the L's and then the M's and these, anyway. So anyway, and so I was just reading a book and so reportedly, according to the New York Times, a huge communist sympathizer has now been elected as the mayor of New York, right?
De Blasio.
Yeah, De Blasio. And that just seems kind of freaky to make that statement, you know, when you think about communist sympathizer, because we're so, you know, politically correct now. But I'm talking about economies, methods of government. I'm not talking about whatever else. I'm not talking about gray dresses versus pink dresses. We're talking about big government versus free men. The senator of New York went from the Secretary of State, became the most traveled in the world, while her husband has the global initiative, while her assistant is running for the mayor of New York, which he didn't make it, but they didn't put a communist sympathizer in, which believes in big government. That we're looking at, this could definitely be Revelation chapter 18. And if you missed our first program today, don't forget we're four programs back to back. that last night, an interview was played from 1996, a former president, Bill Clinton, who unlocked the desire of his heart, the strategy he wanted. He wanted to transform the world and the nation without war, like Teddy Roosevelt did, mm-hmm. but yet without war. And we talked about fundamentally transform the nation. We talked about the selection committee that says that we were looking for somebody to select, and it was between Hillary Clinton. It was between the perfect hair dude, whatever his name was.
Jonathan Edwards.
And it was between Senator Barack Obama at that time. Mm-hmm. And Senator Barack Obama was last on the list. The first on the list was the perfect hair dude. What's his name again?
Jonathan Edwards.
And second was, I believe, Hillary Clinton. And mm-hmm. the third was, we're watching just an interview on C-SPAN we're talking about. As they were deciding, you know, these are people that had a vision for America. This is not really politics as much as it was like, we kind of see this as where America needs to go. Although value-wise, you know, as Christians, we would say, I don't think that's a good way for it to go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, but everybody has, as a citizen, you can express how you feel about values and all. So you got to catch it because he actually run locks. It just seems like, wait a minute, maybe there's a vision of 16 years of community organizing, mm-hmm. organizing the world and organizing America in the world as one of the elders of the world, Bill Clinton, mm-hmm. and the most traveled Secretary of State of the world, Hillary Clinton, allow a community organizer, Barack Obama, to organize everything. Because I was a community organizer. They actually hire you to come in and you organize their community. It's like, why don't you organize your own community?
Right.
And they say, come on, we want you to organize. Like, you know, that didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right. And I'm not saying organizing is wrong, but if you're being organized by darkness, it is. But if you're being organized by light, it's perfect. A good example is that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was an organizer of the light. He was a godly man. He's a minister, Christian minister, and also a lawyer and a good American citizen that stayed in the context under God and under the constitutional law, and he actually promoted the Constitution. He said that I'm only holding you. We're only holding to you what's on the papers. Mm. And he's talking about the Constitution. He said, if this was some other country, this some other nation, I totally get it. I'd get what you're doing. But this is not that. This is America. And so I have a dream. I have a dream that we'll live up to the standards of our forefathers, God's original intent for this nation. I believe that justice is going to come down like a mighty river. Mm-hmm. And he was talking. He was not coming against America. He was helping us find the America God intended and to deal with the sins of our fathers and get back to a place in humility before God and understand that all of our rights come from God. And his dream and his vision that a man would be judged by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. And then he dreamed that we would all be holding hands and walking together as one nation. That's his dream. And we've talked about that before. And that's not the dream of Alinsky's children. Their dream is, you know, workers of the world unite. Mm. Their dream is really, it's just one world economy. Their dream is global initiatives. Their dream is one world economy. Their dream is, and it kind of makes sense if you don't know God, if you think you are God, if you made your own God, and that kind of stuff, you know, it kind of makes sense. If technology is now your God, that if you're giving retina scans to everybody in India and a fingerprint for a small micro loan, and the people have never seen a computer before, the first thing they get is a retina scan and a fingerprint. We're just getting the middleman out of the way. You know, just bow down to technology. And so either way, so the question is like, okay, we need to really do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Understand there, I just feel this in my bones. This might not make sense to you, but it totally makes sense to me that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was an apostle that showed us how to be a godly American, how to allow Jesus to organize us in love, to walk out in under the laws of God and under the laws of our Constitution, to be a good, godly American and raise us to our better standards. And he had 10 commandments versus the 13 rules for radicals that our president taught for 4 years and Hillary Clinton wrote a paper on. She wrote a paper on it. And her graduate thesis, well, you have to write, for people don't know that, you have to write a paper when you finish your degree, and you got to, it's called a thesis. You know, what's the theme of your paper? And the theme of her paper was Zelensky. I mean, she was mentored. She was in her church, according to reports, and in Chicago, I believe. And Zelensky came into her youth group and began to talk to her.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
And recruited her and just kind of, you know. And you have to understand, the very church that I was a member of at one time, when they came to us and started talking to us, you know, a lot of people said it's great. Even, you know, a well-respected pastor, you know, it felt good. But it wasn't until we got close enough to see the fruit of what was going on with that kind of stuff that's not the evil intent of that. And so she wrote a paper on it. You have to understand, the very people that are organizing the world understand this, that George Soros, who has been part of easing down economies and making his money off of crashed economies, is over her financial committee. Hmm. The reports are she's over her financial committee. So, I mean, and when Chelsea, their daughter, got married, they got married in George Soros' daughter's house up in the Northeast. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. I'm just saying, you tell me your friends and I'll tell you your future.
That's right.
You know, you tell me your words and I can tell you your heart, because Jesus says that you know a man by what he says, because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. And you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I wouldn't doubt that these, and it's a large crew, we're just talking about a couple, their desire for the world is to have a better world.
Mm.
But all utopias end up in domination and tyranny, because there's people that say, I'm going to follow God. You know,
mm-hmm.
and they say, Daniel, you're going to bow down. It's like, no, I'm going to have to follow God.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and so that conflict comes up at some point when they say, everything's good until the point you tell me to bow down to your image. And then once you have to bow down, you have to say no, American Christians. You have to say no. You can't. I don't care what they taught you behind a piece of wood, piece of plexiglass, or a piece of concrete, or sitting on steps somewhere in some coffee shop. If anybody's taught you anything other than this, if you bow down to the image, if you bow down to the beast, if you take the mark of the beast, even that's just another aspect of that you're gonna suffer for that. You're not gonna be saved and worshiping the beast. You can't worship God and the beast. And when you're worshiping anything other than God, you're not worshiping God. And so you have to be. This is what he says. He says over and over again in Revelation. He says, this takes the mind of wisdom. This takes the mind of wisdom. You think about it, that a lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but wisdom's not knowledge. Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. And there's very little wisdom. It's like, you seem so smart, but what you're doing is so stupid. Don't you realize that's going to cost you your marriage? Don't you realize that's going to cost you your income? Don't you realize that's going to cost you? Don't you realize that that's going to destroy the nation? It's like all this knowledge. I mean, we love knowledge today. Give me some more data.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have garages, you know, you could rent places. We have the biggest storage building capacity in the world. America does for our stuff, 32,000 of them. But but if you look at the data we're storing, it's, what for? I mean, what are you going to do with the data? What are you going to do with that?
Mm.
I mean, think about it. What are you going to do with it? And so we got to get wisdom here and start beginning to ask ourselves, my goodness, this thing is happening before our very eyes. And I've talked about this before, and hopefully they'll make it a related link. And maybe, I think maybe the segment was this. It wasn't before it was. There's that moment where it just wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Once it happens, people act like it always was, but it wasn't until it was. For example, a steering committee. Right, I want to be on the steering committee. Okay, all right,
my
already.
You know, on the list.
It wasn't, but now it is. But we're glad, you know. And I want a title. Okay, stupid. Okay, anyway. So so you look at this, you think, you got to be careful, because you're going to say it. And so many people, the second something happens, they begin to live as if it always was, and they never realize you are like inches away from where it just began. You are seconds away from where it just began, like a car accident. One day you're riding down the road, everything's fine, and then you get hit. You weren't in an accident, then you were in an accident, and your whole life shifts now because you have been in a car accident. But you have to understand, right before it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the right before it is right now.
Hmm.
And which means we can actually pray and God can begin to change things and realize maybe what will be different because we humble ourselves and pray. But right in our very faces, we are being organized and we're getting a whole bunch of knowledge, but we have very little wisdom about what to do. And wisdom just comes from a farmer that just says, don't you think that's pretty ignorant? You know, man, it's like, and that's what you listen to that. Because Mr. Barkley, for example, mm-hmm. God shows him the season, the time we're going to. How old is he now? Is it late 80s?
He's almost 90.
Almost 90. Wow. And this is what he says about the times. And we're going to talk about this. He says, I don't even want to be alive what God showed me. I don't want to be alive because it was a lot like Isaiah had seen. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say, you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today. Or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.